is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Okay, so tonight we'll be moving forward in our Way of the Arts SM Flex 2025, My Experience. You know, we're having three powerful people that will be blessing us this evening. You know, it's going to be a very beautiful time. And, you know, you'll be blessed. The first person that will be trumping us into glory is a son in the house. Let's welcome Bro Dayo Akinola. So we'll be taking Reverend Busuyi's message on the grand finale.
Praise God. Good evening, church. We ask to review SMFLX grand finale by Reverend Busuyi. And the message was titled, The DNA of the Faithful and True Witness. Reverend Busuyi started by discussing what God is actually doing on earth in these last days. He made us to understand that in these last days, witnesses are like God's statement on earth to the enemy to show that the work of the Lord can still be preserved in these last days. So God has to actually raise witnesses so that the wicked one can know that he's not just having a few days here on earth, and that there are people that will still bring back, you know, our Lord Jesus. He went on further to discuss how that whoever is going to be a witness, you have to be a father. To be a witness, you have to be a father. Father not just in the sense of a male figure now, but that wherever we are discussing things around witnesses, we are talking about things that pertains to life. And anything that pertains to life is not discussed among children, but among fathers. So there was something that he mentioned that actually stuck out for me in that point of explaining about fathers. He said that fathers are people that are responsible, that take up responsibilities. For us to actually grow into fatherhood or grow into becoming witnesses, we must be people that embrace responsibilities. I was listening to a clip early this week talking about how that one of the major setbacks with this generation is that young men don't grow up early. That you see a man that is 29, 30, but in his mind, he's still young. You know, and he was giving an example of himself, how that before he was 26, he was already married. His wife was 24 at the time. And that at that age, he was even the president of the ministry. You know, that they are still running up till now. He was just saying it to make us see that for someone that will actually raise to becoming father or come into fatherhood, you cannot separate responsibility from fatherhood. And even amidst the young men in the house, one of the things that I know that is a burning desire in the heart of our parents is to see young men embrace responsibilities and grow them into maturity, you know, in the long run. I would also like us to read a scripture just to buttress this issue of fatherhood. I want us to know that you cannot just grow into fatherhood just like that. There is a process to coming into fatherhood. Like you've been taught in the house, you have to start from Christ, then before you come into the estate of fatherhood. I want us to read the book of Romans chapter 6 from verse 14. So it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Say, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, is servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." So the striking verse for me in that scripture is Romans 6 verse 14. It said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." This is a man speaking with so much affirmation that sin shall not have dominion over you. Because of one man in the beginning, sin came upon all men. And because of another man again, we had free access to righteousness. So this place of sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You know, it just makes me see that there's a possibility of sin coming to an end in our lives. There's a possibility of sin coming to an end in our life. In the earlier verses of this scripture, Apostle Paul was just giving an exegesis of sin, law, and grace. And he was making us see that before we even talked about the law, there was already sin in the world. Before the law even came to be at all, there was already sin. So the law could not even curtail or handle what sin can do. And for us to actually come into fullness of Christ, we have to first of all deal with sin, because Christ was actually raised for our redemption from sin. For sin to be detonated in us, we have to know that it's not just by laws, by do's and don'ts. In that, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, sin still took occasion of those laws, of those commandments, to still bring people down. For a man to actually come out of sin, God must grace another person with redemption, because the antidote to sin is actually redemption. And once a man has redemption, you can be free from sin. You know, the Bible says, "Know ye not that sin shall not have dominion over you?" One place in the scripture that actually buttresses this point is the story of Onesimus. I had to do a bit of research on Onesimus and who this man is. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. And imagine someone that you are probably feeding, you are the one giving him clothes, housing him. And then the way history has it, that Onesimus still stole from Philemon in a runaway. Philemon had every right to say that, "Ah, no, this guy is a terrible person." Do you know that Apostle Paul said that Onesimus was a son that he begat in bonds? Meaning that it was while Apostle Paul was even in prison that he was able to raise a son out of someone that is a thief. Meaning that that nature could not stand the redemption that Apostle Paul was bringing to Onesimus. Onesimus so much changed that Apostle Paul was saying that he's profitable to me. For a man to be profitable to Apostle Paul, then a lot of work must have been done. If Paul did not even want to release him to Philemon, but said, just so that he doesn't look like I'm using authority and all that. You said, when you see him, you will know that he has changed. So I want to tell us that if we continue in this path, yielding to instructions that we are getting from our parents, we will actually change. Just the same way Onesimus, that was a runaway thief, could have a dramatic turnaround of nature because redemption was spoken over him, we can actually come into that change if we submit under the words we are hearing. Sin is like the law, just like we have the law in every nation of the earth. You know, there are even laws that govern every industry, banking industry, telecom industry. There are different laws. You know that by virtue of not knowing the law, you can actually fall into error and you know, into unnecessary fines that you could have avoided by virtue of not knowing the law. And that's just the way sin is. We cannot, by our own sense, interpret sin. Our pastors, our daddy, are the ones that can give answers to every facet of sin that we are facing. You might think that I'm battling fornication, the way to go is this way. But God must give a man the instruments to deal with that technology of sin. Sin is a technology that God must give, you know, our dad is that mouth of redemption to deal with. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 33, verse 22, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us."
Thank you so much, sir. Wow, that was really powerful. The law can be used in any way, depend on how well you are skilled. We are glad for the kind of persons, the kind of covering, the kind of mouth that heaven has raised over us. You know, when that is opening scripture, when he's dividing laws, you know, I'm always very glad. And, you know, we are blessed for that. Thank you so much, Pastor Dayo Akinola, for that one. Tonight, we have a woman of God. We all know how we celebrate her. Mama Kari, we love you so much. Thank you so much.
Good evening to all of God's children. Amen. I think Reverend Busui, the anchor scripture from his ministration was Matthew 24. I'll read verse 5. It says, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many." Then it's verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. All these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet." He began to say a lot of things. Nation shall rise against nation. It says, verse 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There were a lot of things happening, but scripture did not put the end of any matter until he spoke about the gospel of the kingdom being preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations. So the way I saw it was that that gospel of the kingdom must produce witnesses in all nations. It says, and then shall the end come. So when you are seeing things happening, you know, the end is near, the end is near. There are wars, there are troubles. Bible has told us already that is only the beginning of sorrows. The end has not come. So when you say Jesus is coming soon, the only thing that will give you comfort that is coming soon is that witnesses are being raised upon the face of the earth. You know, when you say Jesus is coming soon, you know, the only thing that would make that word true is that we are beginning to see witnesses being raised. And that verse 14 says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. So the Lord wants to raise witnesses out of us. You know, witnesses are those who will close this age. They are the ones that will cause for the end to come. And it's not just any gospel. It says the gospel of the kingdom. Daddy Reverend Musi in that message was talking about how the kingdom is everlasting life. The kingdom is eternal life. When Jesus, you know, in his parable, he said the kingdom of God is likened unto this, he will always refer to the kingdom. You know, it's how we just look at those parables as stories. He's speaking about the very life of God, everlasting and eternal life. You know, but he was also saying that to get there, you know, yes, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. So the heralding of the things of everlasting life is a sign that indeed the Lord wants to close this age. But that everlasting life must produce a manner of men in all of us. And that manner of men are witnesses after the pattern of the Lord Jesus. You know, one of the things he was saying also was about the building of Christ, the formation of Christ. Because he might not come to you and say, oh, I will stop you from entering the kingdom. But you, as you are taking baby steps, you are learning Christ, faith, hope, charity, he will come and fight that building. He will make sure that you are not formed well as a Christ, because it's only Christ that can even have hope for glory. It's only a Christ man that can desire the kingdom, that can even see the kingdom, according to John chapter 3. You know, so devil will come and fight our Christ curriculum. He will fight our building. Verse 13, it says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I just see how we need endurance to come to a place of salvation. Satan would weary us. He would ensure, he would do a work in us that we will not endure. I was just thinking about how this generation, we have very short attention span. We can't focus. We can't endure. You are doing chores. You're already tired. You know, I was reading some posts. You know, someone was saying that you can't read the Bible for long. Even that work that you are going for 8 hours, almost half of the time, you are not focusing. You can't focus straight for 30 minutes. She was telling me about a breeder now that you can have a 70-page document and it will ask you, do you want to summarize it into 2 pages? But reading that 70 pages, there's something that is supposed to train your soul to be. There's a training of endurance that you would learn in Christ. Scripture says that endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. There's no soft life. If you want to stay in soft life, you cannot progress. He will be looking at you, he'll be saying, I want to enter kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. But you can't even preach kingdom if you are not well submitted to Christ. If you have not allowed Christ to raise and build you up. You know, these are the things that I will just begin to see. But when he was speaking about kingdom, how we can stay on one thing. They want to train our soul to be single-eyed. Like for me, you know, I was just thinking about some commandments that I feel like I would have outgrown this thing. You know, it's about driving. You know, sometimes, you know, me, I use that driving to check my patience level. When I see that, you know, I'm having some behaviors will just show up from nowhere. I might have even been maybe talking, just even sharing word or doing something nice or, you know, religious, but someone wants to enter my front. I just don't want you to enter my front. I'm still strifing. Or he managed to enter my front. Or maybe he does something. I'm already monitoring how I'll catch up with him in front. You know, you're not patient enough. I can't drive on one lane. If I'm on one lane, I'm looking for how to enter the lane that is moving. I've even noticed that when I enter that lane, the lane I've left is the lane I want to start moving. So I always used to check my patience level. I'm like, I'm not patient. You can't even wait. It's not just 2 seconds. They will enter your front and they will go. So it shows that that work of patience has not been done. So that training will keep coming to me and keep coming to me. I have to endure it, because it says that he that endures to the end shall be saved. And that salvation is the kingdom of God. That salvation is the kingdom of God. He was speaking about how, you know, the kingdom is about well-doing. The kingdom is about well-doing. He was talking about how, you know, don't be weary in well-doing. I think it was in Galatians where, you know, Paul was saying that, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we would reap if we faint not. He was talking about Cain and Abel that, you know, we've always thought that Cain was one bad person, right? He brought crops and he couldn't, but the problem with him that he wasn't doing well, because scripture says that if you have done well, so it's not just about doing good. Daddy has been teaching us about good. How, even if you are good, you have to keep doing good. Keep doing good. Stay in doing good until you enter a realm of well-pleasing, because that's where Abel was. And you see Cain wanted the fast route. He couldn't endure. He just wanted something. Maybe he has heard his dad talk about, you know, what God will make of them, but he couldn't wait. He had something in him that was hasty. And that's one nature that God must judge on our within, you know, being hasty. Finally, I think, still on that note, talking about Jesus, scripture says that he was well-pleasing. He was talking about the kingdom and how, when it comes to kingdom, the commandment that they give to us is to seek, and to seek with all of our hearts. Not some of our hearts, but all of our hearts. You know how Jesus sought the kingdom, even when he was on earth as a child, he grew seeking that kingdom. I think the thought I wanted to just say was about how sometimes we are very quick to justify ourselves. Daddy Busui was talking about when Jesus was in front of Pilate and he had the opportunity to actually, they say, justify yourself. But still, he opened not his mouth. He was so tied to the wheel that he knew what not to do. Sometimes to keep quiet, even when you are wrong, sometimes you know that, okay, you might not be right, you're not sure, but you just open your mouth because you want to defend yourself. He didn't look for an easy way out. He allowed the will of God to find expression. You know, he was so tied to the will of God. You know, there's how you can say, let me try it, if God will save me. But you know, there's some decisions we want to make and we're like, let me just go ahead. But you know that you should not go ahead. You know, Jesus did not tempt God. He opened not his mouth. He knew the will and he stood with the will. He didn't give himself any other option than to do that will and to seek the will of God. Amen. Thank you so much.
Wow. Let's appreciate Mama Kari. Finally, can we clap our hands as we welcome Pastor Abby Christopher.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll just talk about something that, you know, stuck out to me while going over the message again. You know, just talking about the DNA of a faithful and a true witness. I want us to read a scripture in Isaiah 61. I think it's one of those few scriptures that captures the mind of God regarding the good news of salvation. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. That's when they have been made trees of righteousness. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. And it says to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. These trees of righteousness are the witnesses, you know, that the Lord is emphasizing to us in this season. And for me, I believe it's one of those seasons that I am not taking very lightly, because I know at the beginning of the year, we began to talk about the record, you know, reading from the book of Revelation, the record that Jesus, you know, that God bore concerning his son, and how God wants to also have us bear that same record. And now SM Flex, we're talking about witnesses. You know, it says they are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now it says, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste. There are waste cities. These waste cities are souls of men. You know, one striking statement that Reverend Bosi made was that the wrongdoing of a father can only be corrected by another father. So when you say raising of witnesses, simply saying God wants to raise fathers, because what man has become today is as a result of a father of lies, you know, turning, and of course we are all here. Now, if God is going to repair the old waste, if God is going to, you know, raise up the former desolations, there has to be the raising of fathers also who have received from the everlasting Father, you know, which is Jesus, because Jesus also was raised to become everlasting Father. It says, and they shall raise up former desolations. One of the things Reverend said was that, you know, when God created the earth, planted the garden and all that, you know, what he did was to put a man, a father, in charge of the earth to replenish the earth. But of course, we know, yeah, man fell and all that and all that. Now, there has to be the raising of fathers again. There has to be the raising of witnesses again. These witnesses are people that God has revealed himself in. You know, as Paul said, you know, when he says that, when he pleased God, who has separated me from my mother's womb, you know, to reveal his son in me. It is in the revelation of the son on the inside of us that brings us into the place where we become witnesses. And we know, of course, like Hebrews 1 says, that God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his son. So God spoke in sundry times, you know, in times past, unto the fathers, to raise fathers, to undo to a measure the work that sin, you know, had done. Now, in these last days, he's doing much more in his son, because we know that all that the fathers represented are in shadows. They're in types and shadows. Nobody came into the full, perfect mind of God regarding salvation. And one of the fathers that God raised was Abraham. You know, because I was just thinking how Abraham journeyed and he could come to that point where he could be the one through which the seed will come through. God had worked with fathers before Abraham. God had worked with the likes of Noah, you know, and all of that, Enoch and all of that. But what God wanted to do was not something that would stop with a man. What God wanted to do was something that would span generations. Because when you say fathers, a father is a progenitor. So when God does a work completely in a man and raise him as a father, it can be accounted for generations. That is what God wanted to do. And he found Abraham at that time as a man that he could use. And I was also looking at the life of Abraham, because for me, I came to understand that Abraham did not become the father of many nations, you know, father of our Lord Jesus, father of the faith, maybe because God loved him. No, God loving him was not enough. I can say Abraham earned it by grace. Now, if you look at it, why did Melchizedek not visit Abraham until the time that Abraham had gone to war with those five kings that took his relative and his family? And if you look at Genesis chapter 18, God was bearing record, was testifying of Abraham. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall do what? They will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. So for God to bring upon Abraham what he has spoken, Abraham needed to fulfill something. He said he would command his children and his household after him. For me, this is one of the challenge, like a standard, you know, that I've been looking at, I'm trusting God for. In a way, it's easier for you to be able to do the will of God as one man. But when it comes to you commanding your children, is another thing. Now, commanding your household is a conglomerate of nations, several people that came into your home. You don't know the waste, desolation of many generations that they brought in. The command here is not to command, hey, you do this. No, it says after him. After him is going to lead a life that they will follow. Now, the height of this, which I believe God saw for him to give this proclamation, was that Abraham had to do a high level of charity. Now, when you look at Lot, when God called him out, right?
God didn't tell him to do any other thing. God didn't tell him to take anybody with him. But he took his relative, right? Now, that was some level of love work. Now, I'm trusting God I'll be able to say something about us taking account of our journey. Little commandments, little instructions. Now, after many years that Lot and his own household and his own men had spent with this man, there should have been some level of witness that they should have borne. But you know, something happened. An issue came up, but the issue was not between Abraham and Lot. It was between Lot's men and Abraham's men regarding space, right? And we know the story. Abraham had to take the fall, allow Lot to make the first choice. And Lot made the choice and went. Now, you can imagine that after Lot had done that, had gone his way, by reason of being in Sodom, right? Those five kings took Sodom and then there was war and all that. Now, Abraham had to hazard the lives of people of his household. Now, you know, when we talk about charity, just want to make it a little bit practical. There's a way that someone can misbehave around us. And then when the person gets into trouble, there's a way you feel like serves him right because he will learn. Abraham could have taken that position of he will learn because we could have been together. But what did Abraham do? Abraham commanded his household. Now, like I said, it can be easier as one person to want to do the will of God. But when you have to pull the lives of 318 men, Abraham will have to have fought his own war to convince them that this cause is a worthy cause. Because the people could have been reluctant to say, we had an issue, blah, 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 we had to separate and all that. Now, this happened. Abraham wasn't sure that in going into war with five kings, that they would return. Or even if at all they would return. Maybe not all the men he was taking. Now, that's the place where faith, when it talks about, you know, faith and love, because we can't come to this height of charity without a good measure of life of faith. He believed that this was a worthy cause in charity work, fervent charity. You know, that by reason of obeying that commandment, the souls of those men will be preserved. Now, why was it that it was at the end of the war, Melchizedek now came with bread and wine? God was announcing that this man has done something that is worthy of heaven's record concerning him. He cannot say that we know him, that he will command. So at this point, Abraham had learned what it would take for the seed of God to come through him. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, because Reverend talked about a lot of things, about, you know, faith, hope, and charity. There's a way these things can be just doctrine in our minds, you know, but we must be able to see the practicality of these things. Maybe if Abraham had his own children at that time and they were all grown up, maybe we would have gone with them, but 318 men who had wives, who had children, to go and rescue somebody who left the fold. Abraham was a father. Abraham was a witness of that level of light that God gave him at that time. So I'm saying, for me, it's a challenge because I know that in recent times, I've been very, very sober because I see all these things we are hearing. God is not a talkative. God is not interested in just gathering us, just talk and talk and talk. God really just wants to undo something. He wants to just raise people. Reverend said that when Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, Jesus did not dwell so much in the Christ measure of life. He went straight to everlasting life to say that we must receive the same thing. So it's not about doctrine that we learn and put in our mind, Christ, everlasting life, and then eternal life. It must be a life. We must know the measure of that life and the commandments that come as a result of that life that we are receiving so that we can appropriately become people that God wants to bear record of. You know, he said of David too, I know David, I found. That means God must have been seeking. God must have been looking. He said, I found. Same thing was said of Jesus. He said, this is my beloved. That means I believe God wants to say this concerning us. You know, there are times that we can be very deceived by the applause of men, the praise of enduring patience and all that. You know, there's a lot of expectation, you know, over us as a people. God wants to be a record concerning us. God wants to be able to say, like Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. That means he will lead them in that same way. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. A big amen. Father, Lord, we just thank you for mercy tonight. We thank you for grace that's available. Thank you for help that you are given unto us. Give you praise because you are good. Thank you for light that is shining. Thank you for authority of your spirit. Give you praise, our Father. We honor you, Son of God. Thank you for light. Thank you for breath. Thank you for your spirit. Give glory to your name, O God. Adoration to you. I ask that tonight you give breath to my soul and show me great help in the spirit. Let your angel minister to our heart, Lord. Minister to us. I join forces with your angel tonight that you will be taught of you and grace shall be our peace. In the name of Jesus. Honor to your name. Glory to your Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Last time I taught here, I was talking about that creations were false witness. But I said creation has its limitation to bear witness, which was also where we took the theme of this message, which was Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he left himself without witness in that he did good. When you look about the creation, good, 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 good. And he gave us rain from heaven, fruitful season, filling our heart with food and gladness. So all these things, we are witnesses. These were all creation, rain, seasons. We are food. They were all creatures. They are supposed to witness to who God is. But we saw much more that the Son came to bear witness. Creatures are to bear witness. But no one can bear witness to God except Father. The Father is a bearer of witness. To bear witness to the true God. Except the Father. Jesus said in John 5, he said, I receive no witness of men. So Jesus, that was not yet the fullness of God in the days of his flesh, said that he do not receive witness of man. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Because the issue is that God's intention is to raise true witness. And true witness are witness of true God. What does it mean to bear witness of true God? To bear witness of the fullness of the person of God. To bear witness of the person of God. God, which no one has seen at any time. God would dwell in a light that no man can approach, can look into, to bear witness of that being, that person, man can bear witness of him. Creation supposed to be for shadow witness, to show in a figure witness, but all of them fall short of true God. You know, true God is head power. True God is head. When you hear head, head is not skull. Head is power. Head is pedigree. Earth is estate. Earth is a class. Earth is the status. Earth is a realm of existence. The eternal God had to step down or had to manifest or appear. The first appearance of eternal God is true. So the first appearance of eternal God is true. That is the God that is not too much diluted. You know, there's what we used to call tree top. It's so sweet that you can't drink it. You have to dilute it. You have to dilute it. And it's still sweet. So, the true God is less diluted God form. Because God is stronger than true God. Eternal is raw God. You can keep diluting God. God as a creator is a more further diluted God. That Genesis 1 and God created is a two-step down God. God, the creator is not the true God. The being that created is the living God as the Lord. God, that's why everything he made in the order of the living. Even unto the being that are around his throne. They call them four living creatures. And he made them, that's the highest being he created. And he made them to the first man, Adam, which was a living soul. Because the being that the glad God was a step down, was a two-step down, eternal to the true, true to living. So he's a diluted. He's a lower down. And even when he made living, he did not make them in exactly of his living. They are a shadow of living order. They are not exact copy of the living God. They are a shadow. So you can see why I said that creation could not fully bear witness, because in the order that you may prove his will, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So if you want to order in that order, the living is good. The true is acceptable of God, and perfect is the eternal. Jesus was not perfected in eternal. They perfected Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5. Though thou art a son, you learn obedience by the things that you suffer. And be made perfect. Then what? He became the author of eternal. Eternal. So eternal estate in the dimension of God. Because you can have good, acceptable, and perfect in Christ. There's a Christ, a perfect man. But in the dimension of God, when you are calibrating God, Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is an everlasting king, the living and the true God. That's everlasting order. But when you move into the order of eternal, God, so eternal is the realm of the perfect. Your Christ has to be perfect as into eternal salvation. There's everlasting salvation, but there's eternal salvation. Though he was a son, your Christ was a son. John 17, from verse 1. And lifted up his eyes and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son. So he was a son. And he was an everlasting son. Because as at the time that Jesus went to Jordan to be baptized by John, he was already a living son of God. In fact, John spoke about him, because in John 3, he is two words. He's the word of the Father and God. And the John 3 was talking about the realm of the living unto the realm of the true. He said, he that have this seal, he said that God is true. But before the seal, they see that God have not given spirit without measure. When he received spirit without measure was when he was a son of the living God. So he was a son. But by the time Jesus was in John 17, he was already true. When he was in water baptism, he was living son of God. He was a living God. In fact, who do you say the Son of Man is? That the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Holy Ghost without measure was the seed of the living God. And what's the seed of the living God? That was the name of the Father that he received. For this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That way pleasing means, because it's acceptable to God. That states an acceptability, well pleased. Not perfectly pleased. So, Joker was already a son of living God, and he had started the curriculum of becoming true. So, by the time Joker arrived in John chapter 15, I am the true vine. He had become true. In 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For no one cometh to the Father except by me. That means, Joker said that now I've arrived in the true fatherhood. I've arrived there. I have walked a walk on the earth and I've arrived in the truth that if you want to come to truth except by me, I now have the roadmap into the true God. I archive the path to the true God in my flesh and in my blood. I archive it. He said it in John chapter 6. He said, I am the living bread. I am also the true bread. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he is the living. He shall live forever as a living. So if Jokers have stayed after baptism, Jokers will live forever on earth. Jokers have entered to a level at that John that if he chose not to pour that his life as a sin offering, he can't die anymore. Nobody can take his life from him. There's no one take my life. I lay it down. He will live forever as the living. Because the living as a shadow Adam cannot live forever. But he was living. But Jokers has arrived because the materials of the living that made up Jesus, the Son of God, this time, is the original living substance that they didn't make the first Adam with. It's possible for you to live by the Father. Just as you can live by faith. You can live by the Father. Those are realms that the Lord wants to bring our soul into. As the living Father, when they said, this is my beloved Son, one where please, Jokers at that Jordan was living by the Father. He's no longer living by faith anymore. He has gone beyond living by faith. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, this is the living Father. I am the living bread. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. But that's not the only thing. There is just one. There's another one. You can live by the Father. And also, you can also be quickened by the Father. That is another word entirely. You can live by the Father. And you can be quickened by the Father. God wants to bring us to the word of the Father. And God wants to live by the Father. Because it's not easy to get the Father. It's not a thing you get by one man fasting and prayer. Because Jesus was a preacher of everlasting and eternal. Or majorly, he preached on everlasting. He only taught little Christ. That John is all everlasting thesis. He was dancing the word of the living into the word of the true. That was what I was teaching John. One day, he is too smart to know that book, that John alone. Because what made book of John different from every other synoptic gospel? John was not recounting what Jesus did when he was in flesh. John recorded Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew referred to Jesus as the Son of Man. John wrote the gospel of John and the epistle of John after the book of Revelation. It was after the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's, it was in that wisdom he used to write those teachings. So he wrote with a very great everlasting light. So that to keep growing light, for you to keep understanding that book. So you to fully maximize the potency of that book. Because it's a discussion of it that's from the beginning. That was from the beginning. We have heard, we have seen. They connecting you back to the beginning. What's the beginning? Source of all things. Genesis. He's the only one that went to the beginning. Before anything was created. So he trusted God from the beginning. True. And trusted God to creator. From God from creator. And moved God downward. unto it. It traced God until when God became flesh and dwelt among us. And showed the way when he became man and how he journeyed and went back to become true and only true, how he became eternal. So that book is a serious book, my brother. It takes the Father to bear the witness of that which is true. So in that book of John chapter 5, John was talking from the book of verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Part of what I cannot do of myself in that verse 1 is that I bear no witness of myself. And this is the man I said, I of myself do nothing. He was a being that is living God on the earth. Job was a God, was a living God. And saying, I can myself do nothing. If I bear witness myself, my witness is not true. What I can of my own self do nothing. I know that we have read the scripture to say, of myself do nothing mean I can't take action without you. It's good, that's not, but it's beyond that. Once we know that I can myself do nothing, it's, I cannot act except God tell me to do. That's an interpretation at a level. But it's higher than that. I can of my own self do nothing. My own self, yeah. He's not talking about your own kind of self, which is selfish. He's talking about a lack. That self, she has acquired the person of the living God. But say that person is still not potent enough to bear witness. Because how do I know that? John 17, he said the same. He said, glorify me with thy own self. So he's talking about that the measure that he has of God, that he has within him, is not potent enough to stand as a witness. That if he come as a witness of himself, his witness will still fall short of the true God. That he has not fully measured up to the true God. That witness, if you want to bear witness, that witness is not complete yet. That witness is still going to fall short. You are still going to classify those witnesses under the classification of witness of man or creature. Because he has not fully measured up to God. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou given me to do. And now, oh Father, glorify thou me with thy own self. So his own self can do nothing. But there is another, that is the Father's own self. And now, oh Father, thou will glorify thou me. He's God, bear witness. You have what it takes to bear witness in yourself. In 1 John 5. He that believe on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believe not God are making him a liar because he believe not record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. When the Son of Jesus said, I of myself cannot do not me, I don't yet have eternal life. Although he said it, he said, if I bear witness myself, my witness is not that it's not true. That should be, is it 6 or 7 or 8? If I bear witness in 8, the Pharisee therefore, that was 5, I can myself do nothing. Then in 8, the Pharisee therefore said unto him, thou bear a record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yeah, my record is true. For I know where else I came. That means, where else I came means not that I came from heaven. Talk about, I have received things. What made me up came from somewhere. I know where else I came. And with that I go. But you cannot tell where else I come and whether I go. But the occurs even in authority in verse 5 says, I can of myself do nothing in 30. Then in 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Is he saying that it's a liar? No. He said that what I have in me as at that time is falling short of a true witness. the content, the judgments, the righteousness, the substances that have fabricated me is still falling short of a true witness. So I can of myself do nothing. And I know that the desire of God and the desire of the Father is not to have a witness that's not true. Because what the Father is looking for is an entity that can truly bear witness of himself in his true form and his true essence. Not a witness that you still need later to come and correct and upgrade. So that's why creation failed in their witnesses. And every other prophet failed in their witness. So Jesus Christ said that, I can of my own self. So that self is a very high nature. Paul was talking about this, and Jesus Christ was also saying. He said, no one take this honor unto himself, because they call this witness in this John. When you read verse 24, 23, he called it honor. In that verse 22, for the Father judged no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honored the Son, honored not the Father who has sent him. So witnessing is a place of honor. 2 Peter 1:16. When we made unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. So that's what they witness. When he received from God the Father, so God the Father bear witness to the Son. That's what I say. The person that can bear witness is the Father that can bear witness to the truth. When he received from God the Father, I say it's only God the Father that can bear witness to the true God. When received from God the Father, honor and glory. So can you say, honor is a witness. John 5. So he said it from that verse 30. I of myself can do nothing. He's talking about the place of honor. Honor to be made a witness. When you are a witness of the true God, it's an honor. It's a great honor. So Paul was teaching the same thing in Hebrews chapter 5. And no man take this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And what is the honor? So Christ glorified not himself. So the covenant is only glorified. So your Christ has to glorify me with thy own self. So I have a self, but my self is below the self of you, God the Father. Oh, Father. When you receive honor and glory from God the Father. God the Father bore witness that yes, now. Because God the Father bore witness that in the Son, you are not true. But Jesus Christ kept, I myself can do nothing. Except as I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So he was saying here that it is the he that sent me that must also bear witness. Look, as in this state, he's not even bearing witness of himself. That's why in our joint sonship, we don't have right to take up some honor. I'm not a son. You have to wait for the Father. Yes. That's why when you read 1 John chapter 3, now, beloved, now are we sons. You can read a caveat to bring for caution. Beloved, now are we sons of God. And it does not yet appear. You can put that caveat there. Though that is a son. Hebrew 5. Though that is a son. That learn to be them by the thing you suffer and be made perfect. You became author. So he's saying, though we are a son, but we are not yet true son. What is true son there? It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we shall see, we shall be like exactly expressed like him. We will be a true copy. There's a true certified copy. Witnesses are true certified copies of God. Hebrew 1:1. God, who at certain time past spake to the fathers by the prophets, and in this last day spoken to us by his son. God is speaking by his son. What made God to speak by his son?
Who? The Son that God is speaking now. Who be the brightness of His glory. And the Son who be express, exact image of His person. So this Son is not the Son that was age of 12 that followed His parents home. This Son is not the Son that they put in water in Jordan. But this Son, they did not allow the Son. When the Son became true, the Father came to bear witness and put a caveat to that. That was different from what He said in Jordan. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when Peter was talking about eyewitnesses, Peter was there when Jonah was baptized in Jordan. He didn't reference that Jordan experience because Jesus was not yet true. He's not a true witness that time. He cannot be of himself, do nothing. What Peter bore witness is the witness of God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in who I am well pleased. That's what they said in Jordan, because he was just the Son of the living God. He can do nothing of his own self. But when he became true in Mount Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye! This one is true. What he said is what the true God is saying. Whatsoever he's saying is what the true God is saying. He's saying we'll not fall short of who the true God is. I come to speak about the things of the Son, but I still fall short. Because I don't yet have it. So God was already meticulous about the Son. He didn't tell anybody to hear the Son, though He made the Son to preach. He didn't put final authority. He didn't give the Son final, true, certified copy that you cannot hear Him. You cannot hear Him. If the Son say, go down to be crawling, it's what the Father is telling you to do. But in Jordan, He didn't put that caveat there. Hear Him. It's my beloved Son. He went away, please. And so, when Peter was recanting the man of eyewitness they are, said, we are eyewitness of His majesty. Say, eyewitness of His majesty. What is His majesty? Hebrew 1, 3. Who be the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself poured our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Before Jesus died, Jesus came into a glory. Because like I told them, 7 days before that transfiguration experience, He told them, He said, for sinners will take the Son of Man. And what? The Son of Man shall be killed. Then He will rise with the glory. 16:21. Jesus began to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be happening unto thee. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you believe, you shall see the glory of God. I'm the resurrection of life. If you shall believe, you shall see the glory of God. Jesus said, and after a few days, when He said that, He took the disciple. He took three of His disciples with Him. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father. Say the glory of His Father. With His angels. And there He shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here. Jesus was talking to His disciple. He said, there's some of you that are standing here. That you are standing now. Like I said, there's some of you sitting here now. We shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. So you shall see Him come in His Father's glory and His kingdom. Then after 6 days. So that 6 days has passed when He said that thing. It's the seventh day. Then after 6 days, Jesus can take Peter, James, and John. He says, some, not all. I'm a disciple. You will see the Son of Man come in His glory, of His Father's glory, and His kingdom. Then after 6 days, this thing was not written in chapter before.
They were written as a book. Formerly, we say, it's this normal. Then after 6 days, look, I took that thing. What he said, he wanted to show it to three people out of all his disciples. Then after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, they appear unto him, Moses, Elisha, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He died with. Let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Where he was yet speak, behold, a black cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice of the cloud said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. 6 days, it took Peter, James, and John. For 2 Peter chapter 1. What Peter referred to that experience. You shall see the son come in his father's glory and in his kingdom. So look at Peter render it. For we have not followed according to divine fables. When we made known to you the power and the coming, for you shall see the son of man come in his father's glory. And you shall see the son come in his kingdom. Come twice in that matter. Can you see that? Some man shall come in the glory of his father. Verse 21. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some which shall not taste till they see some man coming in his kingdom. The second Peter. So when Jesus was coming upon the earth, Jesus was coming. The coming of Jesus Christ is not a day, it's a process of a time. It's coming. He has been coming. But when it's coming becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. For we have not followed calling device fable. When we made unto you the powers and what? And the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When did he start? He started coming when in 6 days after he said that. He shall see him come in the glory of his father. Shall he come in his kingdom? Started coming. So when he started coming, you believe power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitness of his majesty. We are eyewitness of his coming. When he came with majestic glory. When he came in his kingdom. So, when you talk about his majesty are his kingdom and his glory. Esther chapter 1. Ahasuerus make a feast for 120 days to show the majesty of his kingdom. Verse 3. In the third year of his reign. So, I'm trying to divine coming his majesty. So, when he talk about he shall come in his glory of his father, he shall come in his kingdom. Those are the things that are explaining majesty. You're talking about kingdom. You're talking about glory. You're talking about honor. Those are property of majesty. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Medes, the nobles and the princes of province, being before him when he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104. First coming, he showed 180 days. His score is 20. So 180 days, a king was showing. So he was showing his kingdom. And he was showing the honor. Say the honor. Of his excellent majesty. So you can't show majesty without showing kingdom, honor. Our father. They are trying to talk about this. Our father. Who is our father? The next verse, want to go? For that is the kingdom. For that is the power. For that is the glory. They are talking about the majesty of your father who is in heaven. Everything they were talking about, give us this day our daily bread. Those are riches of his kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. Those are riches of his kingdom. Because just as the king showed his riches and the honor of his excellent majesty. What Joker was saying, like, Joker was not teaching how to pray. He was describing the majesty of the father. Lead us into temptation. He was describing the majesty of the Father's kingdom, the majesty of the Father's power, the majesty of the Father's glory. So all those things, each of those things, they are teaching of his majesty of the Father. They are talking about his majesty. That the Father is the owner of a kingdom. The Father's kingdom. In the Father's kingdom, they are talking about the Father and who the Father is. When he shew of his glorious kingdom, when the Son shall come in his Father's glory and in his kingdom, that belong to him, that is showing him. But Joker started showing that thing. You know, he said something, say, how many things I want to show you? But Bible, you can't bear them now. Look at that, showing them, small, small. So look at that, showing his kingdom and his father's glory, his glory of his father to his disciples. So they were eyewitness of his kingdom and eyewitness of his father's glory. So he said, we're eyewitness of his majesty. That is just a little. That is not everything. Because there is higher kingdom. He received a more superior kingdom. He received a more superior honor. He received a more superior glory after resurrection. They call it excellent majesty. Excellent. There's majesty, but excellent majesty. Hebrews chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. When you want to teach the majesty of the Father or the majesty of the Son, you take time to teach about his kingdom. And if you want to talk about his kingdom, we can talk about his kingdom just to teach the kingdom. Because that was the message Joker was teaching. Joker is show less of the power of the kingdom. Majority of what he showed, he taught more of the kingdom. Because the power of the kingdom is higher than the kingdom. But that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Revelation chapter 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. His progression. For that is the kingdom. Dominion. The kingdom means that is the dominion. You have the dominion. You have the reign. Or the reign. That is the kingdom. That is the power. That is the glory. So those things are majestic. They are majestic substances. Kingdom. Power. Glory. Or sometimes where they put power, they can put honor instead of it. Sometimes instead of power, they put honor. Power is honor. Honor is power. Because in some places you find power, you see kingdom, honor, and glory. Some places you find kingdom, power, and glory. They are talking about the same. Honor is power. For the glory of the cause, you say honor of thee go find the power. So honor is to find power to search out what conceive. It is the glory of God to conceive a matter, but the honor of the king to search out. That honor is the power of king is to search out. Because his honor is to have power to search out what God conceive. So sometimes you find in the Bible, instead of power, they put honor there. So when a man is in honor, a man is in power. When that angel broke that angel met Jacob and broke his star and wrestled with him, he said, now you are prince with God and man. You are power with God and man. How did he interpret power? He changed his name. It's an honor. So he changed. So when you are a powerful being, you are a honorable being. You are in honor. So when a man moved from dominion into power, just like when God created being, God created precisely power, might, and dominion. Dominion. So when a being is a power, like Christ is a power, but I make Christ to be wisdom and power. 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 So when you're a power, when you're a power, you are honor. So Joker said, I can myself take no this honor, for no man taketh this honor unto himself. So that was what Paul was talking about in that book of Hebrews. So that honor is to make himself high priest. But God has said unto him, thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. So when did they begat him? They begat Jesus Christ. Because Joker went through begatting. Before Joker would die, he was begat. Because you can't be a witness of true God except you have been begotten. Then after Joker died, he became the only begotten. The only begotten. Joker is both the first begotten and the only begotten. As the first begotten, he's saying that he constitutes the true God. The only begotten is the begotten of eternal life. The first begotten. Joker is the first begotten and Joker is the only begotten. Before he died, he became the first begotten. Then resurrection, he became the only begotten of the dead. Jesus, who is the faithful and true witness, the first begotten of the dead. The prince of the kings of the earth. Then, he's the first begotten and the only begotten. when Jacob died, I became the first begotten. Because to be a first begotten of the dead, as I was teaching, there are two resurrections from the dead. There's resurrection from the dead, which is Christ's. And the resurrection of the dead, which means that you have everlasting life. So, first begotten of the dead is that you have everlasting life. That means you have been begotten above the reach of second death. Jesus attained that state before he died. Just attained resurrection of the dead. Because he said it. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And that was John 11. And a few chapters after that, he was from that John 11 that he taught unto John chapter 15, which is, I am the true vine. From 11, he moved to the word of I am. I am the resurrection and the life. In 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. 15, I am. So from 11, he moved into the word of I am. I am, I am, I am, I am. It's the word of I am. 11, I am. In 12, he mentioned I am. In 13, I am. 14, I am. The way. In 15, I am. So those teachings, we are one teaching. He just kept building on those thoughts. So as at that time, he has attained the first begotten of the dead. Say that, church. The prince of the kings of the earth. That means he's talking about his everlasting life estate. Jokers had everlasting life before he died. He led the everlasting life to become the only begotten, which is eternal estate. But Joker was already resurrection and death. There's nothing death could have done to Joker. Let death take Joker and kill him 7 times. Joker will kill resurrecting. Because even as a living son of God, he lives forever. So you can see, I of myself can do nothing. And what nothing I cannot do is that I cannot bear witness of my own self. God the Father and himself can bear witness of his own self. And his witness is true because his witness is true. Because he's complete in himself. God the Father. That's why Ephesians 1:3 was talking about, blessed be the God and the Father of all joy Christ, who are blessed all with all spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For there's no need with God. 2 Corinthians 2:1. But let God, look at it. They are talking about God, the Father here. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness? All the things that I propose, do I propose according to the flesh? That would mean there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true. So Jesus can't say, I can do myself nothing. He said, I've not arrived at this point. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. 1920. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, Paul also used this same word to Galatian church in Galatians 3. Christ, who was preached among you, he said it to Galatian church. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Stephenos and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea for all the promises of God in him, and yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us, as God is true. So when Joker was saying that, I myself cannot do nothing. He means, I cannot say that I am true as God is true. Therefore, I can't bear witness to myself. If I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. I'm here to receive all the promises of God. I've received some promises of God. I have the promise of God that are yea and yea in me. But the promise of God that is yea and amen. What's amen? It is done. He came to the time when they were revealing him. Book of Revelation. For thus saith the amen. Mean all the promise of God in him was already yea and amen. What's that promise of God?
What are all the presence of God? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All the presence of God in Him. In as the Son of God, in the Son of God, in Him. There was a time that all the presence of God in the Son was yea. In Him was yea. Was yea. So the promise that was in Him was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. In Him was, not is. There was a time when it was, what was in Him was yea. Yea promises. He had yea in Him, but it's not complete if it's just yea. Can you move into in Him? Amen. What's amen? It is done. At a parish, it's done. Yes, it is done. Amen. It is fully done. It is finished. It's done. But the Son of God, who was preached among you, even by me and Stephenus and Timon, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. Full stop. For all the promise of God in Him, at a time in Him, all the promise of God was in Him, yea. For all the promise of God in Him are yea. Not all promise of God was in Him, but now, for all the promise of God in Him are yea. And in Him are amen. Why? Unto the glory of God. God, who is as true. Because the God has glorified Him with His own self. Which and the self of God, God is true. So He glorified Him with promises. And those promises are blessings of God the Father. So you cannot be witness of God without journey in promises. Romans 11 and Ephesians 2. There are things you must know about the law, the giving of the law, promises, Romans. Who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption, the glory, and the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. So this is 1 Corinthians, the promises that are yea and amen, amen. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians are the word of promises. From the least promise to the highest promises. Because you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Since he started opening these promises. Yea and yea. Life into everlasting life. And amen. Yea and yea. Christ into everlasting life. Everlasting life into true God. So from that 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 20. Chapter 2. Chapter 3. We all with open face. We all like the gods. The glory. So those are promises. Change from glory to glory. Going to chapter 4. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And in chapter 7, having therefore these promises, or they were I cast of blessings, that will qualify you to become true. So when you see chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, they outline again, they array the promises again. What does Christ add to do with what? Belial. Belial is this world. Don't look at you with unbeliever. What fellowship? Our righteousness with unrighteousness. That's Christ. What communion? Our light with darkness. Now you light in the Ephesians. That's Christ. The what righteousness? Righteousness is what? It's life, which is faith. Communion, light. That is hope. The conquered of Christ is bond of Christ, which is charity. So that's it. Just a light doctrine that are in Christ. That will make you to attend to the promise of life and peace. Or life and godliness. Then, what part are you that believe it? So, now, unbeliever. Now, you have not believed it. When you are a Christ, you are a believer. You that believe it. With an infidel. You know those who Bible says you should count them as an infidel? Those who say we should count as an infidel. A man that does not what? Provide for no house. You don't have provision. It's counted as an infidel. So, as an infidel. Well, as an infidel. You align the promise of life and peace. Which are faith, hope, and charity. Unbeliever. In that 14 and 15, it was just aligned the doctrine of Christ. Fellowship of righteousness. When you start fellowship with righteousness, the fellowship with the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. But it's power of God to salvation, when I believe, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. For then is righteous God revealed. So righteousness with unrighteousness. That is faith. Romans 4:5, call that righteousness, righteousness of faith. Yeah, what? Communion, light with darkness. Light is hope. Why do you, when your light has come, is when you can see hope. Why do you hope for what you are not seeing? Light is what makes you to see. Then concord is bond which of Christ, which is charity. Then from there you become either believers. When you have gone through all these three lessons, you are counted among them that believe it. Either believer that should not have part with an infidel. Then you move to what agreement are the temple of God with an idol? For you are the temple of the living. So you are moving to the world of the living. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate. Fear the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Then chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. So all these things, all this separation, all this becoming a temple of the living God, they are yea promises. For in him is yea and yea. There's a yea that is a Christ. There's a yea that's a living. Ultimate of everlasting is amen. Yea and yea. For in him is yea and yea. Not yea and nay. Yea and yea. And in him is amen. So these are all dealing. They are promises. Blessings. Different milestone of promises. Promise of life that the Son, before Jesus can become a true witness. Witnesses are inheritors of promises. Witnesses are heirs of promises. That means they are inheritors of promises. You are not a witness until you have inherited all promises of God. It's when a man has inherited all promise of God that he has arrived a place called amen. You don't stop saying amen until all the promises are made sure. And steadfast. As sure and steadfast. So witnesses are heirs of promises of God. Inheritors of all the promises of God. You see, it is those who are like this that can live by the Father. This is what it means to live by the Father. And not live by the Father. The Father raises the dead and also quickens. When you live by faith, you have attained ye. When you live by the Father, you have attained ye and ye. And when you are quickened by the Father, you have attained ye, ye, and amen. 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 Inheritor of all the promises of God. Or a being who all the promises of God have become true. They are no longer promises. They are not true in him. As those things are not promises in God. They are true. They are reality in God. They are promises to you, but they are true. They are tangible in him. But those promises are no longer promises to you anymore. They are now true in you. They are real in you. So therefore, you say you are not true. As he is true. It's true in you. As it is true in him. Joka said that, as it's true in him, it's also true in me. Time passed, he thought, saying, you both know me, and you know where I came. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. As it's true in me, as it's true in you. And we know the Son of God is come. And have given us understanding. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in Son Jesus Christ, this is true God. So Jesus Christ is a true God. God the Father is a true God. But it's also Jesus Christ, his Son. He's also a true God. You now see the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father God. Both of them are true. The God the Father is a true God. The Son is also a true God. Because all the promises of God have been made yea and yea and in him. Amen. And they are no longer promises. They are realities, inheritance, heirs of the promises of God. All the promises of God. So when we are teaching witnesses, you must teach all promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. You must understand all the promises of God. You have to take time to teach. So when you are attaining promises of God, you journey into becoming true witness. 2 Peter 3:1-3. According as divine power has given unto all things appertaining to life and godliness, or life and peace. Through the knowledge of him who have called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding and precious promises, that by this you may be partake of divine nature. So can you see? Promises make you to partake or to inherit. When those things, promises that become a reality to you, then you are becoming true until you receive all this nature. Thank you, Father, for tonight. We honor you, Son of God. Thank you because you have blessed our soul. Thank you for shining light. We have not only received precepts, knowledge, but much more, we have received spirits, your laws. We have received your word. We have received light. God, the entrance of your giving light. Your word is light. And your word is understanding. The ministration of your word is ministry of light and understanding. And the ministration of your law is ministry of your judgments. All your judgment. I pray, may you cause light and understanding. For the Son of God is come. Let light and understanding visit every soul, Lord. May we not only learn precepts, but the ministration of the word. Ministry of light, ministry of understanding, and much more. Make it a ministration of the law, ministry of your covenant, which are all your judgments. Give it, Lord. Show mercy, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you, Son of God.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.